fellas.
Joey Tacon doesn't need any introduction. He's one of our own. Was saved here, baptized here, called to missions, was ordained here. So, Joey, you come. Give us what the Lord has given to you. Close as you see fit.
Lord bless you all.
Hold on a second.
Bless that.
All right, I'm not going to be able to be here July 28th, so you got to give me just a second, okay? I'm kind of overwhelmed. This is the last time that I'm ever going to preach in this pulpit with you as my pastor. And so I don't want to send a video. I want to tell you publicly, thank you for what you've done for our family. Your wife gave my wife her first ministry in the church as a babysitter or as a nursery worker, then a teacher's aide. And I remember when you gave me the young singles class and you said, grow this class like you would a church. And I don't know if you're a prophet or the son of a prophet, but here we are.
There you go.
10 years later, I want to say that I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you've done for us. Okay. And I hope this video will be a testament to everything that, not Pastor McLaughlin, but what Calvary Baptist Church has done for us, what you guys have done for us. We love you all, too. We love this place dearly and desperately. And I hope that you love this place, too, because this is God's place. This is God's church. This is not Greg McLaughlin's church. This is God's church. This is not the deacon's church. This is not your church, and it's not my church. But this is God's church. And that makes this place very, very, very important. Okay? And so I'm going to show you guys a video I learned quickly when I took that first ministry. Never assume what people know. Okay? So I'm going to act like we don't know you at all. And I'm going to show you the video that we've been presenting to our churches. And I hope this church supports us very well financially, which doesn't mean that this building gives money to us. That means that you guys go to work and you sacrifice and you give part of what the Lord gives you to send it to a place called Pisa, Italy. I hope this updated video will help you connect the dots and realize you're not giving money to a place somewhere, but you're giving money to people that were desperate for a place to hear the word of God being preached, and now they have it. So for the first time in 1,000 years, there's a Bible preaching church in the city of Pisa, and that's possible because of you guys and your prayers and your giving. And so you're going to hear some voices, see some faces from our church people saying thank you. Some of you who don't know us, for those of you that do know us, you know I certainly don't need an introduction. We'll take that whichever way you want to take it. But for those of you who don't know us, you're going to see the whole history of us leaving with our 19 suitcases and the whole deal, okay? If you have any questions for us afterwards, I'll be happy to answer those for you. And then we will look into the Word of God after this 7.5-minute video.
After a survey trip in May of 2009, I felt the Lord leading our family to the country of Italy. After 4 years of our deputation travels, we were commissioned by our home church, Calvary Baptist in Huntsville, Alabama, on November the 2nd, 2014. December the 6th of the same year, we packed our 19 suitcases and left for the field. When we arrived in Grosseto, Italy, we were able to immediately get our citizenship due to my Italian heritage. We spent the next 2 years working with a missionary team led by Baptist World Missionary Frank Maietta. We soon enrolled in various language courses. Over the next year and a half, the Lord gave us the privilege of serving with the Chiesa Biblica Battista di Grosseto in several ways. We were able to help with preaching in the Thursday service, teach children Sunday school classes, vacation Bible school, and other children's activities, music, as well as helping with an African refugee ministry. We also had the privilege of distributing thousands of the book of John and Romans and other church invitations. We were soon put in contact with a lone believer in the city of Pisa. Weekly, I would drive up to Pisa and have a Bible study with Ray, not realizing it was the groundwork of our soon-to-be planted church. The Lord led us to rent 2 rooms inside of a community center. On November the 13th, 2016, we officially began the Chiesa Biblica Battista di Pisa. We now have a Sunday morning Italian and English service and several Bible studies. We've had 128 first-time visitors since that time. We now have about 25 believers who regularly attend.
Greetings to you from Giancipoli's family. My name is Joel. Her name is Evelyn. We are grateful for your support. And we thank God for knowing Tekon's family and for his service to the church in Pisa. We have been greatly edified and even sanctified from the preaching of the Word of God, from its boldness. Sorry for my English, we are Italian. So,
ciao, io sono Evelyn, come ha detto Joelle, e vi ringraziamo dal profondo del nostro cuore per il vostro supporto, per la vostra opera. E grazie, Dio vi ricompenserà. Per questo siamo grati a Dio per aver incontrato e conosciuto la famiglia Tekon. Sono degli strumenti nelle mani di Dio e noi siamo grandemente edificati e benedetti dal loro servizio. E speriamo un giorno di conoscervi dal vivo, chi lo sa?
Yes, we hope to see you.
Dio vi benedica.
God bless.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Saluto dalla famiglia Giannotti, io sono Francesco.
Io sono Tania.
Greetings from the Giannotti family, my name is Francesco and my name is Tania.
Vi vogliamo ringraziare per il supporto che state dando qui alla chiesa a Pisa.
We want to thank you for the support that you've been giving to the church here in Pisa.
Ringraziamo di aver conosciuto la famiglia Tekon. Noi ci siamo sposati un mese fa e caro Joseph insomma, ci ha sposato, ha presieduto il nostro matrimonio e lo ringraziamo per quello che fa.
We want to thank you for allowing us to get to know the Tekon family. We were married just 1 month ago and Pastor Joseph had the privilege of marrying us.
Io volevo ringraziare il Signore prima di tutto per il privilegio di conoscere la Chiesa Biblica Battista di Pisa, per la benedizione che sono stati loro nelle nostre vite.
First of all, I want to thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity to be a part of the Bible Baptist Church of Pisa and being a part of their lives.
E per anche l'onore di conoscere la famiglia Tekon, per come hanno benedetto la nostra vita con il loro servizio, con la predicazione e con la loro amicizia.
It's also I want to thank the Lord for getting to be part of the Tekon family's life and for the preaching of the Word of God. They've been a blessing to us.
Dio vi benedica grandemente e vi guidi in ogni cosa. Un caro saluto e pace del Signore.
God bless you all and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hi, I am Flavia. I'm from Brazil, and he is my son, Pedro, and we stay here for 1 year, and we are so happy to found this church in Italy, and I want to say thanks for supporting this church, because this church is so important for us in Italy.
Hi everyone, this is Venus. I'm from Korea. I've lived in Pisa for 3 years and it was so hard to find a church, and God gave us the best church with Joy and Jenny. So we are very happy to be a part of the church. Thank you.
Since the start of the church, we've held many outreaches, like our sacred music concerts done each year with guest groups from the United States. To date, we've hosted 3 creation conferences done by an Italian biology professor who is a strong believer. During the conferences, we normally host a children's creation activity. Recently, we've had a significant rise in regular attenders. so we began to rent another room, and after heavy renovation, we have a much larger space for fellowship and Sunday morning services. Italy is a very dark place spiritually, and we thank you for making it possible for us to share the gospel.
All right, so let me just tell you what's going to happen in the future as far as the church is concerned. We are having our first full three-day revival meeting this year, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, which we're very, very excited about. Brother Maeda is bringing over an American evangelist, and since he's going to be in Italy, we're going to have him come over with us and see what the Lord does through a full three-day revival meeting. And then, Lord willing, we've already got Dr. Stedman scheduled to come May 17th, 18th, and 19th of next year. We're going to hold our first missions conference. And by the grace of God, we're going to take on Gideon Ola, who the church here supports as our first missionary. And so we're super excited about what the Lord is doing. We want to get our people thinking beyond their own four walls, thinking beyond Italy. And so we're so excited about what God is doing there. I hope you're excited. Hope you're encouraged. And I hope you realize that the Lord is giving fruit to this church, not just by our ministry, but by all the ministries as well that we support here. So let's go ahead and go in our Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And if you remember, maybe, I guess it was our March prayer letter, we helped another church plant in Italy about 3.5 hours away from us in a place called Reggio Emilia. Baptist Church Planting Ministries, Brother Jeremy Rowland, who our church is familiar with, came over and was helping them launch their church or relaunch their church, I guess I should say. And he had several groups from the U.S. that came, and we did in 10 days, we did a distribution of 46,000 booklets of John and Romans and invitations to the church. In fact, the newspaper of the city of Reggio Emilia wrote an article during that time period that said, I'm trying to quote now from memory, there's been a Baptist church in the city now for a little more than a year, but it's only in the last few days that the majority of the Reggio Emilians have known about it. And then it said this, because the city has been inundated with the booklet containing the Gospel of St. John and the Book of the Romans by St. Paul. I mean, can you imagine if the Huntsville Times wrote an article that said the city of Huntsville has been inundated with the Gospel of John? I mean, those are the greatest words you can ever see or read in a secular newspaper. So we went up to help with this evangelistic campaign. There was like 52 people involved in this. There were independent Baptist churches from all over Italy. It was an awesome thing to be a part of. So at the end of this, we had a two-night meeting, Brother Maeda preached, and so on and so forth. But during the day, Brother Roland was teaching us young pastors and church planters some principles about church planting and about pastoring. And it was very, very, very good. He had a session called From Pioneer to Pastor, about you go from the guy doing all the pioneering work and the evangelist to transitioning to a pastor and all. It was wonderful for me. I needed it desperately. But in one of his sessions, he mentioned that maybe in 5 or 10 minutes, some principles about impacting your community for the Lord from the church at Antioch. And he just mentioned it really briefly, and it really stirred my heart up. And so I spent the next 2 months or so really studying the church at Antioch and kind of using his little outline to form three messages that I preached for our church back in Pisa. And so this is actually the second one. So we're going to dive right in here in verse 26 of Acts chapter 11 and read down to verse 30. And we're going to be looking between chapter 11 and 13 for this message. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And I looked at that. In the original language, it indicates that these people called themselves Christians. So this is the first time in the history of mankind that people called themselves Christians here in this place called Antioch. In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, or we could put it in modern day times, there was going to be an economic crisis that was going to come, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now this church in Antioch was foundational to the growth of Christianity in the first century. We could say that we have Calvary Baptist Church today because this church in Antioch took the gospel from one city all over the world. And therefore, we should study this church and learn some principles that can help us to have an impact in our community and beyond, even to the world. And this church in Antioch had a great impact, in part due to the fact that these believers, and this is my first message given for you in about 6 minutes, okay? That they sought to build, they sought to promote, they sought the kingdom of God instead of their own kingdom. That's what made this church so great. They sought to build the kingdom of God and not their own kingdom. And we see this, we could say it in short, this church thought beyond its own walls. And we see this really in two ways from the passage that we just read in verse 29. It says, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now it says there was a great dearth, a great famine, an economic crisis coming. And here's what this church did. They did the total opposite of what every church in America would do today. They said, oh, an economic crisis is coming? I've got a great idea. Why don't we take up an offering and send it to another church? Think about that. If a prophet walked in the door today and said, hey guys, I got bad news. There's an economic crisis coming. What would we do? Would our first thought be like, we better take up an offering and help some other poor church somewhere around the world? We'd think about ourselves first and foremost, but that's not what this church did. They thought about a church in Jerusalem and how they could help them. So in the face of an economic crisis, in spite of the fact that this church had only existed for about a year, they had assembled themselves for a year, these people decided to help the church in Jerusalem. And so the second way that we see this church thought beyond its own walls, that it sought the kingdom of God, it sought to promote God's kingdom and to minister, is that they thought of another church. And number two, we go to verse chapter 13, and we're all very familiar with this. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. This church sent out the first missionary to the world. So they thought about the church in Jerusalem before they thought about themselves, and then they sent out the first missionaries all over the world. And in verse 49 of chapter 13, it says, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. I love that. This church truly thought beyond their own walls, and they sought to advance the kingdom of God and not build the kingdom of Antioch. Now, what we want to do, that was my first message, it should have been 40 minutes. What we want to do now is we want to take a step back and we want to discover the characteristics that brought the church at Antioch to have this type of attitude. How did this church get the mindset of we need to think beyond our own walls, we need to be more concerned with the kingdom of God, we need to be more concerned with ministry than we do with our own self, with our own church, with our own little kingdom? Because without this mentality, it's going to be impossible for us to make an impact on our community and even on the world for Jesus. So the title of the message tonight is, how can we be a growing and a going church? There are three phrases that characterize or that are repeated concerning the church in Antioch that indicate to us what characteristics they had and what we need as a church today to impact our community and to continue to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 26 of chapter 11 again, it says, "And when he had found him, he brought him to the church at Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year," and here's our phrase, they assembled themselves with the church. And in chapter 13, we read it, the church was together. They were praying together. They were ministering to the Lord together. They were fasting together. And if we were to go to chapter 14, in verses 27 and 28, it says, "And when they were come," now again, here's our phrase, "and had gathered the church together." You see, this is the biblical definition of what a church is. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about a biblical church. Now, I said I don't assume what people know. So let me give you the word church as it's translated 115 times in the New Testament. It's used 115 times in the King James Version, and 114 times it is the Greek word ekklesia. Maybe we're familiar with this. It consists of two words, ek, which means out of, and kaleo, which means to call out of. That's what the word church means. So it means to be a called out or a called together assembly. Now, I'm quoting to you from a commentary. It is the Greek word ekklesia. In early Greece, cities were often ruled by pure democracy in which every citizen in the town would gather together to act on matters of mutual interest. This word was used of being called out from one's ordinary occupation to act on matters of mutual interest, such as assembling to vote. Being called away from what you normally do. Being called out of your everyday life to get together for a common cause. Amen. It is frequently used of any assembly or congregation of people, whether gathered for religious or political purposes. The word came to mean the result of being called out or those who were thus assembled. When used of the church as the body of Christ, however, it becomes a technical word referring to those called out of the world and joined together in a living union with Christ. That's what it means to be a church. What a church is a group of people that have been called out of sin, called out of the world, and have been separated unto Jesus Christ and who have committed themselves to each other. To do the work of the Lord, to minister, to think beyond their own selves. And I've been going through John in my personal time. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about this. He said, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've ordained you that you might bring fruit," that's thinking beyond your own self. And then he says that you would love one another. And so this biblical idea of a church, that's what it is. It's people who've been called out, who come together, who've been separated to Jesus in serving and committed to each other. Now, we're going to think about this as our church is facing a transitional time. We have to continue to assemble ourselves together in this place. We have to come away from what we're doing, and we have to come together because of our common interest. What unites us is not Greg McLaughlin. What unites us is Jesus Christ. He's called us together. He's called us out. We have to commit ourselves to the work of the work of the Lord and to each other as the people who make up Calvary Baptist Church. If we continue to commit ourselves to each other and to the ministry, we can and we will go forward as a church. We can continue to reach our community, and we can continue to reach the world for Jesus Christ. We can see this place built back up. Amen. We have to assemble ourselves together. We have to commit ourselves to each other and to the work of the Lord. That's what a church is. Let me tell you what a church is not. A church is not simply a building with a name church on the front of it. If that's all that a church is, that means every group that reads under any religious purpose biblically could be called a church. And we all know that they're not. Because what makes a church? Those that are called out by Jesus Christ. And so we must commit ourselves to assembling together to the work of the Lord. Now, I'm sure you know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The church is the most important institution on the face of the earth. Why? Because it's God's church, and he bought it with his own blood. Listen to this, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. This is when Paul, by the way, is retiring from his ministry at Ephesus. He's been there for 3 years, and he says, hey, I'm about to leave. They were weeping over him, and he says this to the leadership. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now, notice this part. To feed the church of God, it's God's church, that he hath purchased with his own blood. So whose blood purchased the church? God's blood. God paid for his church. That makes it the most important institution on the face of the earth. God bought it with his own blood. And I want to again, pastor said it, and I'm glad he said it, and I've already said it once, but this is not Greg McLaughlin's church. This is certainly not the deacon's church. It's not my church. It's not your church. This is God's church. And that makes it incredibly important. That means this church is more important than any one man, any family, or any other institution. This church is the work and the will of God for this age and for this place, for this time. And I'm glad Pastor said it, because if you leave the church simply because Pastor McLaughlin is retiring, then you're following a man and you're not following God. Because this is God's church. You will be outside of the will of God. I mean, Paul dealt with it. It's the nightmare of every preacher. And this has helped me as a young pastor. I've realized I always thought Calvary was above any type of issues. I thought this church is based on the Word of God, and it doesn't matter who pastors, because this church is God's church and it's based on the Word of God. But you know, I realized something, and it's kind of like a no duh. But Paul dealt with this in the New Testament. I mean, Paul said, what is wrong with you people? You say you follow him. He says he follows him. You say you follow me. I mean, listen, people follow people. We can't help it. But by God's grace, we need to recognize that and say, wait a minute, stop. I'm not a disciple of Greg McLaughlin or anybody else. I follow Christ. And our loyalty is to him and to his church. Because this place is the most important institution on the face of the earth. Because it's God's church, and he bought it with his own blood. And if God has saved us and brought us to this place, we should assemble ourselves together to minister and to promote his name in this place. Let me give you a verse that we all know. And I almost don't like this verse because preachers use this verse constantly to try to make people feel guilty about why they should be in church. You should be in church every time the doors are opened. And they use this verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. But what we don't usually say is why. Why should we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together? Well, fortunately, the verse before that tells us that. That was verse 25. And verse 24 says this, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The reason why you and I need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves as together is because I need you. It's because you need me. I need you to encourage me to live for the Lord. I need you to teach me what the Lord has taught you. I need you to help me when I'm down. Because the only place I'm going to get that is when I'm assembled with God's people in my local church. Anybody that works anywhere outside of these four walls knows you're not getting that out there. And he's saying, don't forsake that because you need it. You need each other. I need you as my church family. We need each other to grow. How can we be a growing and a going church? Number one, by assembling ourselves together, coming together, united under the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, and I'm sorry, but I'm going to go late. This is the second phrase that characterized the church at Antioch that we need to put into practice in our church. And that is in verse 26, again in chapter 11. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, here's our first phrase, they assembled themselves with a church. Number two, and taught much people. We need to teach the word of God. And I'm glad Brother Russ prayed what he prayed. The church in Antioch understood that the teaching of the word of God was the way to edify and grow itself spiritually. Listen to chapter 15 and verse 35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. The church, listen to me, the church, and I say this in Italy constantly, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but at least you can get an amen when you preach to the choir. The church has no authority to create truth. But the primary responsibility of the church is to preach and uphold the truth that has been revealed in God's word. Amen. That's what 1 Timothy 3:15 is talking about. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Again, it's God's church, the pillar, the thing that upholds, the thing that supports the pillar and ground of the church. That is our responsibility as a church. To uphold what God has revealed in his word. Not to create, not to preach personal opinions, but to be the pillar and ground of God's truth. How much of the word of God should be taught? And how much of the word of God do we need in order to grow spiritually? Well, Paul's address that we already looked at for a minute to the church when he was ending his ministry in Ephesus in Acts chapter 26, he said this, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Then he says this, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." How much of the word of God should be taught? All of it. Amen. All of it. Not just the parts we like, not just the parts that people want to hear. Paul says, I can walk away from this ministry completely free from all guilt because I've not shunned to you any of the word of God. I've declared all of it to you. I praise God, literally. I thank him that I've had the privilege of being a part of a church that teaches the whole counsel of God. I hope you don't take that for granted. And we have something, we have been privileged. Every time somebody steps in this pulpit, we are going to hear the counsel of God. And we're going to hear all of it. And we must never lose that. I remember one time I had a friend, a more liberal Christian friend, and I wanted him to come to church here. And he said, I'll come to church at your church if you'll come to mine. And I said, all right, I'll go to your church. It was out. Well, I'm not going to tell you where it is because I don't want you to know where it is. I don't want to be mean. Anyway, let's just say they had about 50 minutes of people with flip-flops and music, and then they had a guy preach for about 15 minutes. And literally when he preached, he had it on the screen, the word blood was taken out of the text. Now, I would like to say I left with righteous indignation. I don't know if it was righteous indignation or not, but I was sure mad. And he said, so, what'd you think about my church? Let's just put it this way. It's the last time we ever talked about spiritual things. I said, I would like to remain your friend. So why don't we just let it go? Because if we talk about it, we won't be friends anymore. We will never impact our community. And we will never impact the world for Jesus if that's the kind of stuff that goes on here. Never. We will never truly be a growing and a going church spiritually with that kind of teaching. Paul says, I can walk away free of any guilt because I have declared to you the whole counsel of God. The church at Antioch was growing and going because it was concentrated on teaching the Word of God, because it was concentrated on ministry, on promoting the kingdom of God. And then the third and the last phrase that characterized this church in Antioch, again back in chapter 19, or chapter 11, these are the verses preceding the verses that we've been looking at. This is chapter 11, verses 19 through 21. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, in Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians. Now here is our third phrase, preaching the Lord Jesus. Preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Hey, the church at Antioch was born because men came preaching the Lord Jesus. That's why there existed a church in Antioch. Because people came and they preached the Lord Jesus. And when they did that, people believed. The gospel still saves. This church can grow. Amen. How? By preaching the Lord Jesus. Then, in verses 23 and 24 of the same chapter, it says, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So Barnabas came, and he was preaching the Lord. Not only was he doing that, but he was exhorting them to cleave to the Lord, not to a man. To assemble themselves, to be committed to the Lord and to each other as a church. So the church multiplied because of the preaching of the Lord Jesus. It was born because some men came and preached the Lord Jesus, and then it multiplied because there were people preaching the Lord Jesus. And then the church impacted the world because it sent the gospel beyond Antioch. It sent men preaching the Lord Jesus. And the whole region heard about it. And then it spread. And 1,000 years later, it came all the way to Huntsville, Alabama. And there was a church born. And so if we want to have an impact on Huntsville, then we must preach the Lord Jesus. We must preach the gospel. And I love it because today there are so many ways to preach the Lord Jesus at our disposal, whether it be printed materials, whether it be social media, whether it be open-air evangelism, whether it's sermons on a website, and putting them out there for people to hear, to preach the Lord Jesus. I've always said it, the great thing, what I want to do is preach while I'm asleep. Well, you can do that today. It's called the internet. There are lots of ways where the Lord Jesus can be preached while we're asleep. And we should use those tools to do it. How can we be a growing and a growing church like Antioch? If we'll gather ourselves together. If we will commit ourselves to one another. If we will follow Christ. If we will teach and study the Word of God. And if we will commit ourselves to preaching the Lord Jesus, then we will grow spiritually. We will have a biblical mindset that will seek to promote the kingdom of God in Huntsville and beyond. And we, this church to some degree, is we could, every church could do better. But we have a mindset to think beyond our own walls. But this is a critical time and we need to be reminded of this. I remember the first missions committee meeting that I sat in on. I was trying to know all the ministries of the church. I was getting, you know, really interested in missions. Pastor said, you should become part of the missions committee. I think it would help you. And so the first missions committee meeting that I sat in, the church voted to give away $19,000. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was lucky if I made $19,000 a year. You know what I'm saying? As a self-employed house painter. And they voted and gave away $19,000. And I thought to myself, this place is amazing. Let's not lose that. Amen. Let's not build the kingdom of Calvary Baptist Church. Let's promote the kingdom of God. Let's stay together. Let's serve the Lord. Let's preach Jesus. That's what we need. That's what this church needs. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for the example of the church in Antioch. Help us, Lord, to have a biblical mindset. Help us, Lord, to seek your kingdom, to seek to serve you, to follow you. Help us to be committed to each other, Lord, to love you, to cleave to you, as Barnabas said. And Lord, I thank you for giving me the privilege of being raised in a church that preaches the whole counsel of God. Lord, that thinks beyond its own walls. And we do. We need you now, Lord. And so we pray that you'd give wisdom to everything that needs to happen here in this place. We commit that to you, Lord. We know that your will is a local assembly here. And so we thank you for giving us the privilege of being a part of that. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, to extend that to Pisa. Thank you for fruit, Lord. And we just want to say that we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.